Hello, and welcome to an Anthology of Wonder. Today, we're going to be talking about mushrooms. And mushrooms are really awesome. They're kind of a trend right now. You know, you see people with mushroom jewelry and mushroom shirts. But mushrooms are also, like, a real thing that you can go in the woods and poke around with. And so, today, we're going to learn a little bit about their basic structure, and we're going to learn how to classify them from the general label of fungi into phylums. So, a mushroom looks more or less like a very small tree. It doesn't work the way that a tree works, but it looks like that. You have something being held up on top, a cap and gills, and you have something holding it up, a stalk, which would be analogous to the trunk. And you also have an underground part, the roots, quote-unquote, of the mushroom spreading out underground, or inside of whatever substance the mushroom is on. But unlike a tree, if you cut down a tree and you just leave the stump, that tree is probably going to die. But if you cut off a mushroom very carefully, leaving like a little mini stump and not tearing up any of the mycelium, which is, it looks white and sort of feathery, then the mushroom will be fine. Because the trunk and the stalk are only used for reproduction. They're called the fruiting body of the mushroom. And so in the same way, if you take an apple from a tree to eat that apple, the tree itself is going to be fine. If you take the cap and gills and stalk of a mushroom, the real vital parts of the mushroom are going to be fine. So obviously there's a lot of variation in that. Not all mushrooms are typical like toadstool kinds of mushrooms that you find on, you know, all the t-shirts and the, I don't know, Pinterest boards. But the way that mushrooms reproduce is the way that they're classified into phylums. And just to give you a little bit of review, in the Linnaean system of classifying living things, you have kingdoms, which are the biggest classification other than just it's a thing that's alive. So the kingdom we're working in is fungi. There are five kingdoms. And inside fungi, the second largest classification is called phylums. So you might remember the little King Philip cried out, for goodness sake. Let me see if I can remember. Kingdom, phylum, King Philip, class, order, family, genus, species. And so if you put all those things together, you have this big, long thing that will enable you to understand a fair amount about the organism you're thinking, because all these categories mean something, getting more and more specific as you go down. So again, we're working in phylums, and phylums are sorted by the method of reproduction. The first phylum we'll be talking about is going to be the one that's most familiar to you because it is that basic toadstool type of mushroom. If you've ever eaten mushrooms other than yeast, you're going to probably have eaten these. This is what you think of when you think of mushrooms. They are the kind of mushrooms that have the little cap and gills. They're the kind that make up fairy rings, just your basic typical mushrooms. They are called phylum Basidiomycota. They form spores on oval or club-shaped cells that are called basidia. And so on mushrooms that have a cap, which, you know, like analogous to the leaves, if you look on the underside of that cap, you'll find gills, which they're kind of weird looking. But yeah, they're soft and like very, very small. You can't see them. But on those gills, you will have little tiny spores that are being released by the wind and all sorts of movement, whatever. And also in this phylum are something called puffball mushrooms. They look like little white balls, white or brownish. They're very small, not super small, but like kind of between a baseball and one of those tiny little rubber bouncy balls. And so they make spores on their insides. And when it's windy or when there's some other disturbance, the spores will just kind of poof out of the little holes in the outside of this thing, and they're carried by the wind. So a common method of dispersal for these mushrooms are kids actually stomping on them because it makes a really fun poof. And then there's also shelf fungi in this phylum, which they're the things you often find on dead trees or logs. They look like little half circles stuck into the wood. And a lot of times they have rings, kind of similar to you'd find on the inside of a stump. They also, on their undersides, will have, I found one actually yesterday that had gills underneath it, but sometimes they'll just have like a spongy underside with tiny little holes in it. And so puffball mushrooms and regular mushrooms and shelf fungi are all in phylum Basidiomycota. And this next phylum might also be a little bit familiar to you, phylum Acidiomycota. All the phylums, by the way, end in mycota. It's funny because I have no idea why they end in mycota. But yeah, they all end in that. So phylum Acidiomycota keep their spores in little sacs. Yeast is in this phylum. So the cooking yeast that you'll use is a mushroom. It's alive. Most of the times, if you're cooking with it, the way they'll reproduce is by budding, or basically like sort of cloning themselves. You've heard about cells cloning themselves before, probably. And also is a few other mushrooms that you would find in the woods. So the famous morel mushroom that is said to be very, very tasty and very rare and a little bit expensive is in this phylum. And then there's also the fungi that cause chestnut blight and Dutch elm disease. They're in Acidiomycota. So a little less common, but still some of them you would know. Zygomycota is our next phylum. These are the fungi that form what are called zygospores when they reproduce, which is basically to say that the fertilized spore, when they reproduce sexually, I should say, when both sets of DNA are combined and it's fertilized, it forms a hard protective covering around it. So yeah, like a lot, maybe even all fungi are able to sexually reproduce. But when they reproduce sexually, that's how we sort them in the phylums, because they all reproduce asexually pretty similar by just cloning themselves more or less. And in phylum Zygomycota are most bread and fruit molds. Next is Chytridiomycota. And these guys are unique because their spores have flagella. So picture something that looks like a tadpole and moves a little bit like a boat propeller. I don't know how you'd picture that. I certainly can't, but that's more or less what they said, what my textbook says. And all other types of fungi are completely dependent upon wind or water or animals or whatever to spread their spores. They are completely dependent upon their conditions and their environment. But these crazy little guys are not. They get around. They can't like fly, and they can't tunnel through rock or anything, but they can swim. So you'll find them a lot of times in water or mud, like in ponds. Second to last is phylum Myxomycota. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. These guys are slime molds, and there's actually a little bit of controversy. Some people wouldn't actually say that they should be counted with fungi, but rather in kingdom Protista, the kingdom of organisms that are made of one complex cell or a group of complex cells that sort of stay together and maybe benefit from that, but don't really work together the way our cells do, where we have, you know, like brain cells that send messages to muscle cells and the muscle cells move and all that. They don't work together. They just happen to be near each other. And so the thing about myxomycota is that they behave like protista, like just a bunch of blobs sitting there eating their food when they go about their normal feeding life. But when it comes time for them to reproduce, they behave like fungi, like growing a little stalk and a cap and spores, like in very, very small and probably very different from what you would imagine as your basic fungi, but more or less that. And so whether you classify them as fungi or protista depends on whether you consider feeding or reproduction to be more reflective of the overall structure of an organism and its life. And so apart from the highly complicated and highly controversial science politics of decaying sledge, the members of phylum Myxomycota exist in perfect bliss. They're usually slimy, they're found on dead stuff, and they're either white, red, orange, or yellow. Poke around in the woods enough and you'll run into one eventually. Now, sorry Zygomycota, but we have, I saved for last, my favorite fungi phylum. So as, actually we didn't say at the beginning, but fungi are classified according to their method of sexual reproduction. And so scientists assume that every single fungi has some method of combining and mixing DNA instead of just cloning itself. But the thing is, there are some fungi that we can't classify into phylums because we haven't found their method of that. And so we just stick them in phylum Deuteromycota. And so the thing is, while some people think of this as just a holding place for a new fungi until we study them a bit more, there are some pretty old and intensely researched fungi here, including the genus Penicillium, which is used to make antibiotics and cheese. And those are pretty important things. And so our mystery is, after years of studying this wildly important fungi, have we just not been able to discover its phylum? Or are these fungi defying a very old and very fundamental assumption about this kingdom? On one hand, we have the boundless ignorance of humanity, and on the other, we have the ineffable wonders of nature. Because really, we just don't know. It could be that nature has given us a 180, and they just have no method of sexual reproduction. Or it could be that we just haven't found out yet. No one knows. And so with that little mystery, we're going to end this episode. Thank you for listening. And I guess I hope you have a good day. Bye.